Well, let's turn over to 1 John 5 today. 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 4, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." Verse 11, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son, is in his Son. Verse 12, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." I want to emphasize a few verses. Verse 4 and 5 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And then if you skip down to verse 10. "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Verse 12 said, "He who has the Son has life." If you don't have the Son, you do not have life. Period. Notice that in verse 10, it says, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." You have a witness in yourself that you, Romans says, the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Here it says, "He who believes in the Son has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar," has made God a liar. Now, if we don't believe, or people, mankind, if they reject what God has said about his Son, notice it says, "does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." So God has given a testimony of his Son. And through men we have this testimony. Through men we have an account. Through men we have this book. The Holy Spirit wrote this book through men. But it's an account that we have as a testimony to what God did through his Son Jesus for all mankind. And every man has the ability to reject or accept this testimony. And the Word says, if that testimony is rejected, then It says, he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in his Son. There is no other place you can get life, get eternal life. It's only in Jesus. Verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And we're going to go into this some today. But what Jesus did here on the earth, when he gave his life, when he was crucified, was buried, and then he rose from the dead, he did that for all mankind in order to provide life. And it is the only way that men can have life, true life. People can live on this earth and experience some good things, but they won't have what the Bible calls life unless you believe on Jesus. Period. That is the only way. The only way. Notice the Bible said right here, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Now this word, this Greek word zoe, it means the life of God. So you may be alive, your heart's beating, that's your natural body. But on the inside, unless a person is born again, unless they receive Jesus, they're dead. It means they're separated from God. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. He is the only way to have life on this earth. The good news is that if you've believed on Jesus, you have this. We have this. And it's beyond, I think, our understanding of what this actually means. We're going to get into just a little bit of it today. What it means to have life, that we actually carry around the life of God on the inside of us. And the reason we can do that is because Jesus made a way for that to happen. In other words, now we have life. It's not just something that, well, I'm saved from hell. I believed on Jesus, so I'm saved from hell. That's true, but right now, the reason you're saved from hell is because right now you're already a child of God. It's not like you have a ticket and it's going to get punched at the gate and say, well, you're going up or you're going down. Right now, because of who we are, there's no question. When you leave this body, like a hand slipping out of a glove, you're in the presence of God. That's just because right now you are in the presence of God. Internally, we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Now. Right now, today, if you've been born again. But if a man or woman has not received Jesus, even though he paid for it, even though he's made the complete way for them to have life, they won't experience it here on this earth. Verse 13, it says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's present tense, right? It means now we have present tense, we have life. We have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Let's turn over to John 1. John 1. John 1, 1. John 1, 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world, or every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born of God, not of flesh and blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice verse 12, it says, "And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." We've been given authority to become children of God through what Jesus did. The right. That's a legal term, authority. We've been given the legal right to become children of God. And look back at verse 4. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The life of God came to earth in Jesus. Jesus was 100% man. He was 100% God. He came to earth with a mission to pay a ransom for us. So then, by doing that, giving us the right or the authority, if we believe on him, to become children of God. And when we become children of God, we inherit and have life. The life that was in him, he came to give us life. We were prisoners. Mankind were prisoners, whether we knew it or not, whether people know it or not right now. This world, the Bible says, is under the sway of the evil one. And you can see that clearly. It's under the influence. Which is why very intelligent people will say there's no God. Why? Why would somebody do that? The person that created them then say, well, there is a God that created mankind, and we have been created, yet the creation saying, "I have no creator." Why would they do that? Because, like we've been talking about in our series on Sundays, this world is deceived by the deceiver. It's under the sway. It's under the deception, the influence of the evil one. He owns this world. Through life, I mean, God is the ultimate owner. But because of Adam bowing the knee to Satan, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. He's not. He has a lease. And he is legally entitled. And God can't go back and say, "Wait, do over, I'm coming back to take it." Satan owns mankind. Except for what Jesus did. Jesus came in to buy it back. To buy us back. To give us life. To give us the ability and the authority and the right, the card to get out of that family. The ability. The authority to leave. Mankind is in an abusive relationship. Satan owns, it has the world under bondage, whether they know it or not. And Jesus came to set us free and to give us life. Look at John 3:16. Flip over there, familiar verse of scripture, but let's lay our eyes on it, or it's on your sheet. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him," or "that the world through him might be saved. He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Skip down to verse 35. It says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Look at John 5:24, just a few verses here, just in these chapters. Jesus is speaking and says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Notice that. He has passed from death into life. So Jesus came because we were in bondage. We were owned by the God of this world. And Jesus came to give us life. He came and was made manifested in the flesh, like we just read in John, that whoever would believe on him, he would give the right to become a child of God. We saw that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right here it says, he who believes on him has passed from death into life. So we were dead. We were in death. But when we believed on Jesus, it's not something that's just in future that we believed on him so that someday we could be with him. At that moment, we passed from death to life. So that's now. We've been made children of God. We acted on that right. Go to Colossians. You see this very clearly in Colossians. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Colossians 1. Verse 9. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 13 and 14, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has. From the power of darkness. So we were under the power of darkness. Were. We were in a family. Under a father. Jesus, like we've said several times on Sundays when we're looking at the deception, Jesus said to the religious leaders, you are of your father, the devil. Well, all mankind is under that same sway, and He owns mankind. See, people don't understand this. They bring it way out of the reality and the legality of what's gone on and bring it into, God, we may believe in God. We all have different ways to believe in God. He knows. And, you know, it's really just about your heart and so on and so forth. That's all nonsense. Because Satan owns mankind, and he's not going to say, well, yeah, your heart is going to let me out, or let you out of my control. There's only one thing that can give man the ability to get out of the bondage of Satan, and that is the blood of Jesus. It was paid as a ransom so that men could believe on that, and Satan is powerless in front of the blood. It's a legal thing. It's not, well, yeah, you're right. Maybe your religion is correct. It has nothing to do with that. The Son of God was the only ransom, the only payment that could be made for mankind to buy them back and give them a... They have free will. We have free will either to take the testimony of God or not about His Son. But to those that do, He gave the right or the authority to become children of God. To those that believe the testimony of His Son, not to anybody that just comes to God in any old way. This is a legality in the universe. Satan is real. And he does have legal right over the human beings. Jesus is real. And Jesus came to set men free and to make a way so men could believe on Him and get out of the clutches of the devil. So there is only one way to Him, to God, and that is through Jesus. That's the only payment. That's the only form of payment that Satan must accept. Anything else is deception and propagated by himself. If he can get men to believe, actually this other way will save you too, when he knows for a fact it's a dead end, all the better. Why? The Bible says he came to kill, steal, and destroy. He hates God. He hates God. And he wants to take everybody. He knows his time's coming. The Bible says his time is short. He knows he's going to be thrown into the pit. He knows it. And he is going to go about stealing, killing, destroying mankind because he knows God loves men. And he loves them so much and values them so highly that he sent his Son to redeem them, to redeem us. And he knows that God values us. And he knows there's a way for men to have life now. And so he sets about to deceive and to distort and to get men to believe other ways that are powerless, that are useless, that have no effect and cannot take any person away from his grasp. That's why he fights Christianity and Jesus so much. That's why there's all this just deception around it. That's why he tries to make it politically correct not to declare Jesus. Why? Because that's the only name that has any power against him. In the universe, that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that he must obey, and he knows it. Jesus came to give us life, to transfer us out of that kingdom into the kingdom of the Son of God. And today, if we've believed on Him, we are today, now, not going to be children of God with the life of God dwelling on the inside of us. We are in the family of God. Now. Today. Not going to wait another, don't have to wait another day. Verse 13 says, He has delivered us. Is that past, present, or future tense? Past. He has. That means right now. It's done. He did it in the past. He delivered us. That means we are delivered. From the power of darkness. That means we were in the power of darkness. And He conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In whom we have redemption now. Through His blood. See, it's through His blood that we have redemption. This isn't some reasoning or philosophy or theory. It is in the court of the universe, the payment for sin. It is the way. That's it. That's all that the court of the universe will accept is the blood of Jesus. You say, how does that work? I don't know. The Bible says it. We have to take it by faith. We'll understand that more and more throughout eternity. But the fact is, how does the blood of Jesus Christ equal every person that has ever been born? And that in the great universal balance that says, I think it's not even a balance. It was an overpayment. It's more than enough. More than enough for every person. But will they receive it? That's the whole thing. Will we receive it? It's not if it happened. It happened. It's our decision. Like we read, those that will believe the testimony of God with His Son. It's not just of men. People think, well, do you believe this religion or that religion? It's not about that. God has come to earth. And He testified of His Son. And we believe what God has testified through men, anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have the account of the Gospels. These accounts are historical documents so that we may know what happened. And we all have a choice. But as we choose, something happens. It's not a religion. Well, you're going to that church now, so you're one of, you know, you're in a group. It has nothing to do with an earthly group. It has everything to do with a heavenly family. We are translated into His kingdom. It doesn't matter that we're here. The Bible says we're citizens of heaven. We're just here on earth. We're just passing through. So when you become a child of God, and once the life of God has been in us, we're here just like we're visiting a different country. You're going to come home. Potentially you're visiting somewhere for a little bit and coming home. This is not our home anymore. We got a job to do. We have a job to do so that other people can know. Until all the people that are going to believe, then we'll get out of here. But God is not going to leave people. He has people that are going, family, that are going to believe, that are going to come into this family, and until they're in, there are more people, far more people than have ever lived on the face of the earth right now. The earth has never had as many people as it does now, and it's growing and growing. These people, God wants the people that are going to believe in Him to be in the family, and He knows who they are now. But they need to hear. They have to be given a right to hear. Hallelujah. That's why we're still here. That's why we have a job to do. If it was just up to you and I, we could just get out of here. But we can't, because God wants the family that has yet to come in to come in. They're not here yet, but they will be. Hallelujah. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 2:14. It's not on your sheet. Hebrews 2:14, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same." He shared in flesh and blood. "That through death, through His sacrifice, He might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So Jesus came, partook of flesh and blood. He shared in the same. He became like us. He identified with us. And He lived a spotless, sinless life. Proving that it could be done. Where Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. And by doing that, He paid for us. There was nothing in Him that deserved death. He did that for us. Willingly. And by that payment, we were given the right then to believe on Him. And it says that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. That word destroy is like if there were somebody were trapped in concrete. And like this is the way Reverend McCallum explained it. he was gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was one of my instructors at Rhema, and he came out here once several years ago, and taught. But he said that word is like if you had a parking lot that was concrete, and you were caught in that concrete and couldn't get out. He said that word is like you took a jackhammer and broke up the concrete so that now you could move. The Bible says here when it says that he came and he might destroy him who had the power of the devil. He said he jackhammered that concrete so that you can get out if you want to. The devil had control over us, but Jesus, by his sacrifice, came and destroyed what the devil had so that men could be released. It says that in the next verse. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Men are subject to bondage in this earth if they don't know Jesus and don't know that he is the life and that he is the only way to life. We're subject to being bound by the enemy. But through him, we can have life. Through him, we can be in his family. Through him, we can be free from all the bondage of the enemy. Glory to God. Life in him. Turn over to Ephesians 2. Glory to you, Lord. Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says there, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And anyone who hasn't believed on him in the earth right now are dead in trespasses and sins. That means we have no way. We're guilty without him. In the court of heaven, we're guilty. And Satan owns us. But it says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He said, you were like this. But the first sentence says, he has made alive you who were all this. He said, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we were dead in trespasses and sins, and even when we were dead, when we deserved nothing, when mankind had no hope, Jesus made us alive. The Bible says in verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses together, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what happened. Actually, that's what happened when Jesus died and rose again. is that those who would be saved, he rose up together, and once we received that we took our place next to him. But the fact is, he's already paid for every person's sin on the face of the earth right now. Right now. Nothing that we have to do on our behalf, what we have to do is believe on what he did and receive what he did. And at that point, that's our way to come from death into life, to take our place in the family of life. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
That we're in that family. We're in that family. If you've believed on him, you're now in the family of God. So much of then, from that point forward, if we know what he did, if we know that we've been made alive in him, we can act on it. We can partake of it. Look back just to, if you turn there, look back in Ephesians 1, verse 15. It's a few verses from where we were. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Notice it. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, after I heard that you had believed on him and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then he starts talking about that he made you alive, but here he's saying, when I heard that you had believed Jesus, I haven't ceased to pray for you that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. He's saying, because you've been born again, I want you to know what actually happened and what is yours because of what Jesus did, and because you believed on him, and because you have been made alive, and because you have been seated with him in heavenly places, you now have life and authority, and you're in a family. And if you'll know that, if the eyes of your understanding are enlightened so you it becomes in your consciousness, then you can walk in it. Our awareness. So you could be born again and not know the rights and privileges that we have. You could, and there are people in this state that they know they're born again, they believed on Jesus, but they have no idea about the authority that they have over Satan. In fact, they think Satan, they just have to put up with stuff here on this earth. And in fact, to go so far as to say it's God doing some of these things, causing trouble in their lives. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. He said that you would know, that your eyes would be open so that you would see the reality of what's going on and what transpired at the cross and when Jesus was born again, and what happened when Jesus rose from the dead, and what happened when you were born again and you believed on him. What is the reality and the universal legality of that situation? See, as we know those things, faith rises up and we'll say, I don't have to put up with this thing. Now I know what's going on. And Satan has been stripped and he has no right in my life any longer. He used to be my father. He used to knock me around in any way he wanted, but I've been adopted into a new family, and he has no right to come around anymore. It's illegal. And when he does, I don't say, well, I don't know why this is happening to me. We say, you have no right, leave. Hallelujah. We've been given life. We've been made alive. In this earth, now. Well, we just have to get through this earth. It's just tough, and we'll get through and we'll get to see Jesus someday. Well, heaven's better than earth. I mean, I would rather be in heaven. But while we're here, I mean, we don't know a lot about it. And maybe the reason God didn't tell us a lot about it is because it would just make us want to go that much more. It'd be like torture. It'd be like just dangling in front of us going, this is what you're missing out on. It'll be here in, 30, 40 years. You'll get to it, but not yet. So we don't know a lot about it, but we know there is going to be no sorrow. There's not going to be any tears. There will not be any death. There's no curse. There's no Satan. It must be marvelous. But while we're here, we're not supposed to just barely get along and say, well, I know we're here and we just have to put up with things. We understand through the Word that Jesus has transferred us out of that family that we were in into the family of God, into a new family, and that Satan has no authority to mess with us any longer. He will try, but it's illegal. And we have to call him on it and say, no, you can't do that. Because we're not in his family anymore. You have no jurisdiction. We were in your family. And you were a horrible father. He was abusive. He kills his children. But we're not in that family anymore. We've been made alive in Jesus. That he who has the Son has life. We have life. And let's say a little earlier, our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. He who believes in the Son of God has life. Glory to God. Look over, let's close with this, Galatians 2:20. Praise God. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. See, what is that life that we have? It's the life of God residing on the inside of us. The life of God. Hallelujah. For he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I don't live this life just in my power, just in my ability, just in my understanding. I live it by faith in the Son of God. And his life is actually living on the inside of me. His life quickens me. His life, his spirit on the inside of me. The Bible says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The spirit of the living God resides on the inside of us, and he is life itself. Life came from him. Everything we see in the natural, the good things that were created, were from him. He is the life giver. He's the creator. He knows how our bodies work. He knows how the universe works. We know a little bit. He knows it all. There is no mystery to him. None. Not even one question. Well, how does this work? He knows. He knows exactly. He could tell you in as much detail as you would like exactly how everything works. He is the Creator, the life giver. And He, His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwells in you and I. The reason we are able to have that privilege and ability is because of what Jesus did on the cross. And because we believed on Him. He who has the Son has life. And whether we realize it or not, whatever our level of consciousness in that is, it is true. And as we become more aware of it, act on it, take God at His word, believe that what He said is true, that it is true now. Well, I don't feel like it's true. Maybe I just have to get a little further and grow a little more, and then it'll be true. The Bible says with all the scripture we just read that it's true now. Well, I don't feel like it. That has nothing to do with it, whether we feel like it or not. What we need to do is act like His Word is, that it says what He means it to say, that He is trustworthy, and if He says, I have life, if He says the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me, if He says the Son, whoever believes on the Son has life, we take Him at His Word and say, yes, I believe it. I walk with the life of the Son of God. Glory to God. The more we walk in that reality, what does that mean? If we walk with the life of the Son of God and we walk with that awareness, what obstacle in this life can come against us that the very life of God can't overcome? Any physical challenge, you have the power that created the universe, that raised Jesus from the dead, that we saw over and over in the book, in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, when that power of God was manifest, that it changed people's bodies. What ailment is there that the power of God can't overtake and correct? Is there anything that the creative power and life of God can't heal, can't cure? He created planets. He created the universe. There is nothing that in our bodies, that if it was removed, even if something had to be created, you're dealing with the life of the Creator. There is nothing impossible for Him. And He lives on the inside of us. If we're dealing with business things or relationship issues, how do I handle this? We're dealing with the Creator, the life giver, the one who knows all, that there are no mysteries. There is no situation too difficult for Him. There is no situation that He would say, well, I have to get other counsel. He is the ultimate counsel, and He lives on the inside of us. That life can quicken our intellect, quicken what our wisdom and our decision making. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we have it now.
Yes.
As we walk out of this place, that we know it now because of what He did. Glory to God. He is so good.
All the time.
So good.